Hello, we made it. Another Wednesday.
Every single week, we just have, it's like it's a cold open. But we have music gets you pumped, and then we just come in. And
bring them back down. That's how you do it. Yeah, we're live for episode 22 from my guest bedroom. I don't know where these guys are coming in from. It looks like their houses this time.
Guest bedroom as well.
Yeah, not the subway. I don't know. Was that last episode? I don't even remember. It blends.
Yeah, I don't even know where we were. Like, yeah, it was one of these things where it could have just been a dream at this stage.
Yeah. The mindset, mindfulness dream. I don't know what was going on. But anyway, yeah, we got let's talk about Rollbit, our sponsor, first, and then we'll get into the meat of the show here.
Yeah. Hey, guys. As you know, this show is sponsored by Rollbit, one of the biggest crypto casinos out there. You can do pretty much every single DGEN activity you would ever want to do on the platform, whether it's sports betting, NFT lending, borrowing, leverage trading, and your regular casino activities as well. So be sure to check out rollbit.com or rollbot.com, depending on your jurisdiction. And we also have the first code to give away, which is WizKid9235. WizKid9235. And I'm going to put that in the YouTube comment section as well. And as you know, the show is also streamed on YouTube. I'm going to pin the link on the top of the Twitter space as well, if you want to have a better listening and viewing experience on YouTube. But I'll pass it back over to KBM.
Yeah, then you can see our guest bedrooms and make memes of it, like that one guy did. But yeah, speaking of gambling and casinos, I saw there was a nice leverage wipeout last night in the market.
What happened?
I don't know. It went down. I mean, it's been going up for like 4 months in a straight line. So maybe it was just, you know, a downtick. People aren't used to that.
Gainsey was like the top 11 spots on the Rollbit leaderboard. I saw. I think he caught that one.
He's a heavy Rollbit trader. So yeah.
Yeah.
He really, he's going to.
Did you catch it? Did you catch the move?
I think he said he scalped it or something. I don't know. He got out too early. I don't know. Maybe people were unprepared. But to me, I mean, I didn't post it, but I was posting in private chats. I was like, people are buying fucking Pepe coin and all this bullshit and literally printing money. It's literally end of cycle, you know, just shouting from the rooftops, maybe take some risk off. And then overnight, boom, there it was. I didn't capitalize on it, but yeah, I was prepared to, at least I didn't get caught long. But yeah, I don't know. It seems like a meme coin mania. I mean, it's not like it's not every altcoin. It's just a couple coins, right?
You guys make money on
that? I heard some rumblings that OSF might be crushing it.
I did one trade. I did basically. I wasn't going to touch it. Like, someone actually called it out in our Discord at $1 million market cap. But like, I don't trade any of that shit, so I didn't touch it. And then everyone in my group chat, including Mando, bought it. So I was like, "Fuck, I've got to buy it now. Otherwise, if it goes up, I'm going to have like going to be the only loser not making money." But I went a bit big. I bought like $100,000 of it.
Jeez, that's a lot.
Yeah, and
you're able to retire now, or what?
No, unfortunately, I only made 2.5x on it, so I didn't. I missed out on one of the big.
That's like a top 1% leaderboard right there, I think, for meme coin. Most people put in like one ETH. This guy's just shooting 100 ETH and fuck it.
I sold it all yesterday. I missed some of the rally, but it's always going to be the way it's.
You're not a big shitcoin guy, KBM?
No, I'm not. I never really was. I don't know. I made all my trading was just like, you know, Bitcoin, ETH, leverage trading, and stocks and whatnot. I don't know. It takes it's a lot of work. I don't want to sit here all fucking day and buy like Cuckcoin. I don't know. It's not like it's just like gambling. It's playing hot potato, right? It's just a hot potato game and like playing momentum and sentiment. I mean, I think it works if you have a small portfolio and you just want to gamble a lotto ticket type shit, but that's for the young guns, man. I'm past the game.
I'm literally in a group chat right now and Thread Guy has just posted.
Yeah, there you go. It's for the young guns.
And I'm like, what is this now?
Yeah. It's at the stage in the cycle, you just get people just DM you contract addresses.
Yeah, this is contract.
Yeah, no, I think you're just creating them nonstop now and just trying to suck that last bit of liquidity out. And as the market rolls over,
they'll only ever put it in as well after they've bought. Automatically exactly. Buying, like, whoever puts it in, bag.
And then you go on Dex Tools and like, yeah, there's like 1.7k in liquidity.
Yeah, literally. I mean, I don't know why we're talking about this without Wiz. He's like fucking. Yeah. He loves living in those streets. He gets dirty all day. Maybe we could bring him in. But I heard his camera might have froze. I guess that's, we'll see.
Mystery of the Wizard of Soho.
You're muted right now, Wiz. Unmute yourself.
Oh,
he's black screen and muted. So I guess let's continue on. without him. I don't think there's a technical difficulty on our hand. This isn't our hands. This is his.
This is definitely his. He's doing it straight from the Ferrari, right? I don't know what he's driving.
Yeah, I don't know what he was driving. It looked like he was driving back to Canada or something. He posted. I don't know. But he was out and about. He pulled over to speak to us, and it looks like we lost him. So I guess let's talk a little bit about some other stuff while we wait for this guy to come in.
You didn't want to come to NFT NYC this year, KBM?
No, because I'm going back to New York next week, and it was just a lot of back and forth. And I'm coming back to Miami 2 weeks after that. So it's like, I don't know. I didn't really feel like bouncing back and forth over and over.
You're not allowed at NFT parties anymore.
That too. I also got banned from all of them. So, no, it's a joke. But
we had the rep show that night.
I didn't see a lot of value for going besides just to go hang out with you guys and party with you guys. And I was like, well, I don't know if I need to go party for a weekend in NYC. What did you guys do there?
Well, I think the night that we spoke to you, that was the night of the rec show, was it?
It was.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Why don't you tell us about that? I'm sure. I mean, this is Rec Radio. You guys had an event called the Rec Show for the Rec Guy NFT. I mean, it was in New York. How was it at the box?
It was good, but we're just not like event planners, do you know what I mean? Like event organizers.
Ovi had a panic attack.
Was that like a venue?
That's the longest story. But Ovi had a panic attack. At one stage, I went upstairs, found him hidden behind a curtain.
Who?
What was that? Ovi. I think at one stage, it all got a little bit much. And I was like, where's OSF? And I just go upstairs.
He just had it. He was just going to hide.
It's just painful because like you're there. You're trying to get people. You're trying to make sure like the people who are like big holders of the project get in.
Yeah, no, I had to DM you guys like, yo, what the fuck? Yeah. Friend on the list.
You caused a panic attack, man.
Caused a panic attack. OSF, it sounds like something you could like express to a painting or something.
It does.
Yeah, exactly. I will do that.
Panic at the Rec Show instead of
Panic at the Rec Show. Like that.
There it is. I just named it for you. I mean, I might get into art creation at this point.
Yeah.
Okay, Wiz is back, I'm told.
Here we go.
There he is.
God, looks nice.
Yo, what is up?
What's good, man? How are you?
Okay. I fucking died there for a second. I don't know. It just went all blank screen. I was like, what the fuck's happening?
Yeah, it seems like your connection's a little shoddy.
You guys, I was like, yo, they're talking about shit coins. I was like, bro, don't start without me. The fuck?
I know. I realized that. I was like,
the whole show.
So, I mean, let's intro Wiz a little bit. I mean, yeah, you were a bond trader for a while, one of CalPERS, I think it was, top bond traders.
You took that off your bio, I noticed. That was the last job. Oh, okay.
And then you got into crypto, and then you were making more money in crypto and trading, and you're like, you know, kind of just fuck this structured bureaucratic bullshit of a bond firm and move on to just, you know, being your own boss and being a crypto trader. I don't know. Is that right? Or what would you say your intro is to the industry? And
It's actually a great story how that happened. It was literally... I would say like it was fall 2021. So I'd done really good in the dog season in winter of 2021. So post COVID. And so I had like good money, but like, you know, I mean, I did really well in Wall Street cause I worked like, you know, 15 years almost cause I was a bond trader at a couple of banks before RBS, TD, et cetera, build out inflation desk. But so I did okay. Nothing crazy to like, you know, retire, but then it was the fall. So I was trading, you know, I started trading crypto actually, surprisingly, was they would not let me trade any, because, you know, you guys have been like, you know, you get to hold 30 days.
You can't trade stocks and stuff.
You know, all that bullshit, right? Yeah, so... Exactly. So I was like, I can't really, but I was having fun, you know, because I ran a pretty large bond book, like $45 billion at CalPERS. So, you know, one of the biggest ones out there, like pure cash book too. But I couldn't like do any like crazy gen stuff. And, you know, risk parameters is a little bit the pension fund, right? But they were like, what about crypto? Like, do I have to report that? And they're like, no. I was like, all right, let me go check out fucking crypto. And I just started like, you know, taking risk, having fun. And then I got into shitcoins. So fall 2021, I like fucking, so GM coin, that was like my big one. I think at one point, like I turned like, it was like maybe $2,000-$3,000 into like $5 million in like a week and a half. It was like insane, right?
I remember got yelled GM at coin. For not coming. I fucking bought that at the top. Like,
Oh, perfect. Thank you for your sacrifice. It was great. It was very similar, like the mania happening right now is like a baby version of that. Like that was like, cause that was the final in the bull run, right? Like fall, like November 2021. Like that was it. That was like peak. And every big run is ended by a big meme coin season. So that was like the real, like GM ran to like 500. Anyway, so I'm sitting, I come to the meeting, I'm a little late. Cause like I, like whatever, right? I missed on a 200X because I went to the meeting and I was so mad. My boss pulls me out after. He's like, yo, you need to step up. Like, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, first of all, like I've given you guys a phenomenal year. Killed it on the COVID trade. Killed the post-COVID trade. And I have like 5 million in fucking meme coins while you're yelling at me. I literally, I was like, fuck it. I'm like, I'm not going to quit, but I just stopped working. I literally put in like maybe 5%. Like I literally did no trades. Like whatever minimal balancing, and like eventually they just had to like be like, "All right, bro, what the fuck are you doing?" I was like, "Yeah, just fire me." You know what I mean? I just want to get the fuck out. I'm not gonna quit. It's free money. But yeah, 100%. I was like, my boss is yelling at me while I have 5 million fucking dog coins sitting in my like portfolio. Like get the fuck out of my face. And like that was it. And then I just, you know, went full time then NFTs, and you know that was the fall 2021 season. Like fucking aped into like everything, like clones, Azukis, and kind of didn't look back after that.
That's like that hilarious meme where it's just like, oh, ETH is up 3% and Kermit the Frog visits his boss is like, what's your mouth?
Yeah. Literally, it's really
like yeah, exactly. Same shit. Yeah. Yeah, look down when you speak to me, you know, because ETH's about fucking 2K.
And then, am I right in saying you had... Great.
But yeah, that's kind of how I got in.
Am I right in saying you then had like a fund, a liquid capital then is kind of what spun out after that?
Yeah. So, yeah, that's right. So obviously macro is my core, right? I mean, that's like, it's really funny how much like shit coins I love, but like core of everything I do is macro. And I had a lot of clients, a lot of like people who were like, all right, you're going to go start your own fund now. And I was like, I kind of don't want to, but then my main anchor, he's like a big family office down south. I was like, all right, let's do something. So I actually built out a really cool algorithmic strategy. It's like, you know, you rebalance like once a week. It's kind of long only, but you have to, you keep, you know, you go to cash risk, cash risk, and move around. And yeah, so we started, so basically we create custom indexes. So we call it IDX Capital, like index capital. It's just one investor just because I don't want like, you know, and more people. But yeah, it's a really great strategy, a full algorithmic, across 20 of the top 20 coins, like the most liquid coins. It's got only one goal. It just needs to outperform Bitcoin and Ethereum, nothing else. So if you want to have exposure to the crypto market, we try to give you better exposure. But yeah, I would say that's the crypto fund. You know, it's doing really well. And then obviously I have my illiquid capital project, which is essentially, you know, I would say my 12 plus years on Instagram, you know, before Twitter, I was just on Instagram, just posting like markets, posting food, travel, you know, just bullshit, right? And I built up a really cool community until I got banned in 2021, which is a great story too. I got banned from Instagram, but that community that I built up, we
started a Telegram
chat where we just shoot the shit. Yeah, well, I'm going to tell you, it's an incredible story. So we would just shoot the shit. So initially it was BSC farming. That's all me and my community did. We just farmed like cake. Like we were farming cake, like PancakeSwap at like 30 cents, getting like 1,000 APY. Like that, I would say after GM, like cake was probably one of my biggest wins. Like we were farming all the food, like bananas, cake, burgers. I mean, they all went to like billion plus market cap. Like BSC farming in like winter 2020 was like epic. So anyway, so I started my community, which is Illiquid Capital. We have NFT, et cetera, and a few other projects, but I'll tell you how I got banned. Incredible story. So I was very anti-COVID. COVID-ish, like anti, what do you call it, like lockdowns. And, you know, I spent a good chunk of time in Canada, which, I mean, Canada during COVID was like, it was bad. Like, you could, like, they had the cops were trolling outside. You're not, like, walking around. Like, people would, like, your neighbors would call on you. I mean, it's fucking snitch country, socialist country anyways. But anyway, so imagine this. I'm very anti. I keep posting a lot of, like, you know, I'm like, yo, look at the statistics. Yo, fuck Bill Gates. Like, you know, just, and it's great. My community loved it too, right? One day, for fun, I posted on Instagram, I think I had like a new gun or something. I love guns. I had a new gun or something. And I just posted. I just said for fun, yo, make sure y'all strapped. You know, the government's trying to come down. Just for fun, I get maybe 300 DMs and story replies with like pictures with their guns, like crazy guns, saying locked and loaded, Lord Commander, we're ready. Like, we're waiting for your chief. Give us orders. Like, just DMs like that. And I got fucking like a person at like Instagram, Facebook, all hit me up like, you're trying to incite violence. You're creating a mob in the RB. There's like a huge letter they sent me. You're permanently, like, full permanent ban, like no coming back. This was also kind of around like when like Trump's thing happened with, you know, taking over the Congress or whatever, the Capitol Hill. And yeah, they hit me for like trying to build an army and incite mob and violence, and they just banned me.
That's how crazy. Many followers did you have?
Not many. It was like maybe 55,000-60,000, but it's like very
not
like,
for an army.
Like, because it's all like, yeah, young Wall Street guys, and they're all like, you know, and like the thing is, the guns were crazy. It was like 50 cal, like AK-47s. Like, it was fucking stupid. Like gold encrusted 50 cal. I was like, bro, we're not trying to take down a fucking tank. Like, what is, like, it was nuts. But yeah, I mean, I couldn't even like argue it. It was just like, I had a new Instagram account afterwards, and I called it not the Wizard of Soho and rebuilt myself.
What I love is that you were trading government bonds, and then you went into trading. Like, you didn't choose the like vanilla crypto. You chose the most degenerate thing you can get into in crypto, which is like pancake swap farming, which is like, if you had like $5, you were doing that. But you were obviously throwing a lot of money into it. But is that always been part of your character? How do you match? I know that kind of, I guess it wasn't a dull side trading bonds, but it's definitely quieter. It must have been a quieter few years trading bonds over that period.
Yeah, I mean, so I traded like at CalPERS, like, you know, when we came in, it was very, you know, I don't want to like speak too much on it because you know, probably NDAs and shit, but like it was a very like sleepy place, and I came in and I kind of ran it like a hedge fund essentially. So we, you know, like taking risk, like a risk, but like so think about, like, you know, if you're taking duration risk, like even if I take like a 1 year duration risk on a 45 billion portfolio, that's like, you know, 3-4 billion off like long bonds, right? So that's humongous. That's like some of the biggest hedge funds taking risks like that, not even, you know what I mean? So from an old one, it was a lot, but it was great. But then, you know, it's in some places in the
It's the old edge
the world. Like, you know, some
Oh, we're gonna get him back. We're gonna get him back. Most of the Wi-Fi is the best.
You got Wi-Fi?
So you do the more.
Uh-oh.
Okay, we're back. Damn it! Did we get cut?
Yeah, you're getting like real choppy, man.
No.
Is there anywhere?
Is there? Like, you could just go audio. Nearby? You could just go audio for a bit if it's easier.
Yeah, video is fucking it up or something.
Okay, are we back?
Yeah, we can hear you. We can hear audio.
You can hear us?
Technical, I can see you. Can you? Fuck.
A mainstay of the production here.
It's quite a good thing that he froze on there, at least.
Oh, man. Sorry, we're laughing.
Were you ever in pancake swap, KBM? Like,
no, man. I don't get in that stinky shit. Pancake swap and whatnot. I mean, obviously it went up a ton and I was like, wow, I missed out. But like, I don't know, man. It's just,
that story.
That stuff's so liquid. Like, I'm not really, I don't know.
Yeah.
Hot potato, like, you know, it's vaporware. Like, it's just kind of like a,
you see, in breaking news, you see Sotheby's are doing the 3AC NFT sale.
What happened?
You see Sotheby's are doing the 3AC.
Oh, is that going on?
Yeah.
A little liquidation action. Let's see if we got Wiz back here. If not, we'll talk about that. Hello?
Not yet.
We don't have him. So let's talk about that. 380C liquidation sale. So yeah, 380C, the fund, the Zuzu.
You buy your death base.
I forget which one it is. The fund blew up, and yeah, they had a lot of NFT art, some prized possessions. Didn't they have the Golden Goose Ringer or whatever the hell it's called?
Yeah, I think so.
It's a good portfolio. It's a good really portfolio, good portfolio.
Top tier shit. They're going to have the liquidation sale from Sotheby's, apparently. Is that what you just said?
Sotheby's are doing it as an auction, yeah. Oh, he's back.
Oh, he's back. Are you there? Oh, you guys going to buy a bunch of it? That'd be awesome.
Yeah, we're good now. You're good now. We got you.
Yes. Yeah, sorry about doing this from my car. It's my grandma passed away and I had to like get to Canada real quick, so that's why in between that should happen.
Okay, thanks.
But that's the reason. Otherwise I'd be like proper, sitting at home and
the car isn't the usual podcast studio.
Yeah, because you were in Miami for a bit, right?
It was.
Yeah, yeah. Are you asking me?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I was in Miami. Yeah. I was looking at places pretty close to where KBM lives. Speaking of, bro, KBM, first of all, has one of the nicest fucking apartments I've ever seen in my life. Like, it's a treat to just go there. It's unreal.
Yeah, no. I mean, people could tell from this guest bedroom how sick it is.
You've never invited us.
Yeah, bro. I feel like he does this on purpose. Yeah, yeah. No, he like keeps the blinds down. He's trying to be all modest. Like, bro, you know how I knew KBM was size? I mean, KBM always been size. But like, you know how I knew he was like real size? When the elevator opened into his apartment.
Oh, he's got one of those. Oh,
nice. Yeah,
one of those.
I have my elevator to my apartment, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
You're making him so awkward. I love KBM.
Oh, it's a nice spot. You can't complain. I'm definitely happy to be able to afford to live here.
So we were talking about, yeah, so you obviously running massive risk still, even with bonds. Then how did you get into your crypto journey? So your crypto journey started with you getting into shitcoins, and then you just fell into NFTs, or were you kind of degenerating in them before? And then how did that also lead into some of your projects? You've done like the winery DAO, you've done obviously now the whole liquid capital setup and newsletter. So yeah, let's maybe go through your journey when you got.
Yeah, for sure. Well, for sure. So I got into crypto. So I was like, for me, I was like, listen, I'm too late to Bitcoin. Like I saw the appeal, but I was like, if I go buy Bitcoin, there's not like I'm not gonna go buy something that can give me maybe a 2-3x. Like I think it was like under 20k, but still, I was like, okay, maybe I get 2x, 3x. I was like, all right. So I looked at, I thought about the psychology of everyone in the space, like on Twitter. I followed people like Kobe and even like guys like KBM and stuff. And I tried to understand the psychology. I was like, bro, everybody here is basically a gambler. So I was like, even though the core of this entire space is Bitcoin, Ethereum to a certain extent as well, and then a couple of the Bitcoins. Everybody has a psychology that they want to get rich quick. And, everyone's trying to go for big risk, right? It's a very different mentality. So it's not even a mentality of nothing to do with like traditional finance. Like traditional finance, people...
We got to freeze again, it sounds like.
Yeah. I love the screenshots of his face when it freezes. Like, they're very memeable.
Maybe. We got to frozen again.
All right. Like, I mean, it's just all
people. Just go audio like, only, please. You're cut off.
Wait, maybe we should get him going.
Yeah, I think you're back. I think it's
better if you just go on the Twitter space. I think it's better if you just on the Twitter space. Yeah, because I think
okay, let me do that.
It'll have a cleaner connection than on StreamYard. So why don't you close down the StreamYard and go on the Twitter space, and we'll bring you up on stage, okay, and then cool. You can continue it then.
All right. In the meantime, we have like 1 minute, I guess. So let's talk about that Sotheby's auction. You guys are bidding up everything you said?
I don't know.
When you get out of a trade, you don't have to just get back into it. Like
we've heard whispers about this.
I could learn a little bit about that. That's why I have an Elliott Road session later today.
Oh really? Wow. That was an incredible one last week. I actually thought that was one of the best. Like if you actually want to go back and listen to an episode and it's not just like us LARPing around like taking massive risks, he was,
Yeah.
No. It was really, really useful.
Yeah, no, we had my mindset coach on last week. He was definitely throwing down. I better get a cut of all the new business he gets. All right, we got Wiz on stage now. Speak. Let's see if it works. All
right, let's go. Here we go.
Yeah, he's really low in my headphones.
You hear last?
Yeah, you got to turn him up, Seth.
Can you hear it now?
Wiz, you there?
Speak. Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah, perfect. Where did I cut off last? You remember?
You were talking about how everyone was just a gambler.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So I got in and I'm looking at everyone and like trying to understand people, the psychology of everyone. And I was like, man, everyone just wants to get rich quick. So I was like, listen, all the money is going to flow into like the highest risk, the highest like probability of possibly making it. And at that time, BSC was just coming up. Like BNB, I think had just like launched not too long ago. They just lost the DEX, launched the DEX. And I was like, all right, like somebody forked over Uni, which by the way, I mean, I can't say it on here, but the founder of PancakeSwap is one of the biggest NFT collectors out there. Just FYI, I found that out recently, like giga rich person, but nobody knows who founded PancakeSwap. Anyways, back to it. So I was like, listen, what's going to be the most degen thing? I was like, all right, I'm not going to be able to make the type of money everyone's making already on Ethereum because it's, you know, pretty developed. So I was like, all right, I'm going to go to BSC. And I was like, BSC, I'm going to try and find like the exact same shit that people made money on and then just hope for the best. So first thing was the main DEX, which was PancakeSwap, right? And you just farm PancakeSwap. Like they weren't on Binance at the time. Like all you could do is just like buy it on the local chain and then just keep farming it. And then they had the other stuff coming. They had like the burger swap, which was, you know, just things like sushi swap, all like the, you know, fork swap, uni swap, essentially. And that's kind of all I did. And we, you know, we farmed like the stupidest shit. There were like projects I was farming that like literally within hours they would rug and the website would be gone. And it was the most ridiculous thing, but it was so cheap. Like you could put in like $100 and buy like, you know, a shit ton of cake and put it into 1,000 APY. And you're just watching this number just go up. And I was like, this is the most degen shit I've ever seen in my life. And so that's why I went like straight to that side. And just, you know, just that my entire community, like we were just farming like anything, like taco swap, shrimp swap, anything we could find. Then like when Polygon started, you know, we did like everything from like iron swap, the iron finance. Like I remember when like, you know, we were farming the iron one where Mark, do you remember like Mark Cuban got rugged? Do you remember that
story? Yeah. We were involved in that one stage. What was the token? It was iron and it was.
Yeah. Krill,
Krill was another one, but I remember this time, like it was like DeFi rugs and you just hoped and hoped and hoped you got out before it rugged.
Yeah, because they were crazy inflation. So that's the craziest thing. I was, you know, obviously I came to the inflation world. I was like, bro, this doesn't make any sense. Like they're giving like 1,000 APY an hour. Like the first part, like this inflation is going to be nuts. Well, people that I was in these Telegram chats didn't even like understand the basic of inflation. So I was like, all right, so I'm just going to put in like everything I got into every farm and pull out in the day. And like, I'll just keep making money. And that's all, literally all it was. Because everybody waited. Everybody waited too long and inflation would run up so high that everybody got crushed. And that's what happened with the Mark Cuban. Like Mark Cuban came into Iron Finance and it was like, oh God, I think it was like 5,000 APY a day. And he put in, he tweeted it out. And like 2 days later, it was like obviously it's inflation. It went from like $1,000 to like, you know, $50 or something. And he's like, oh, we need regulation. This shit look like, you know, like I got rugged. I was like, and he put in like $2-3 million, like which was insane. Like, yeah. So like that's, so I just went in on that right away. And what was great is like I onboarded, like as I, that's one of the reasons my community and me are like my OG community are so close is because we all kind of came in, like we all got onboarded together and we all degen together, right? Like as I was learning, they were learning and they only came in because they were like, all right, Wizards like doing some degen shit. I want to do it too, right? So that, we all kind of came up. We all like, you know, when GM got big, like all my friends, like who we all came in together, we all aped into GM under like a million market cap. And so we all kind of got like super rich off it. Like people who had never made like any dollars, they were like, oh fuck. Like I just turned like $1,000 into 500K in like 3 days. So that's one of the reasons, like, you know, I talk so much shit on like on Twitter, but my community always has my back. Cause like, you know, we've all like come up in the, you know, we've come up in the grind to get there. But so that's how like, you know, I got into like the all degen shit. Once I got in there, shit coins, it's kind of like, I say it's the community is way smaller than NFTs. Like the people who create, like people who are building, as they say in NFT world, there's always new people, new brands, new people coming in, or influencers, they turn into builders. In shitcoin, it's very different. There's like 5 shitcoin devs who have run every shitcoin in the last, like, since like Floki, I would say. Like once, like Floki was probably the first big, like Doge and Shiba were the big ones, but I would say Floki was like the real underground shit big one. And every coin since then has been like, I would say like 5 devs. Like, that's it.
So, it's just a bunch of rugs and ruggers.
Oh yeah, that's all it is. They launch,
In case of an investigation by any federal entity or similar, I do not have any involvement with this group or with the people in it.
Oh, I'm not sorry about that.
I'm saying, hey, they still go like a billion market caps. It does, you know, I don't think you consider that as a rug. Like, it's people just sell. Like, they're not pulling LPs, but honestly, every coin, everyone, like even PayPay, all of these coins. Like, you know, I was with. Like, it's funny, you just get contracts just dropped into your chat. They're like, all right, just ape in. I'm like, all right, like, that's literally how it is. Like, I have a Telegram chat, but every like contract that gets dropped in, like, my bot just automatically snipes it. Like, doesn't matter what it is, you know what I mean? So that's the thing to remember with shitcoins. It's literally, I would say, it's not even more than 5 people, and then it like trickles down. You have the first 5 people, then you have the next set who like you know, I wouldn't say kind of influencers, but more like callers, like Telegram shitcoin callers, and then it trickles down like that. Like, that's literally every shitcoin that's happened. I mean, you name it. Like,
it sounds like a safe place to invest. It sounds like a really good place to invest. You need to be nimble and size it correctly. It sounds like you size it. You size it correctly, though. It sounds like you put it a little bit in each one, or a little bit. For me, I think that's why I never got involved. It's like, I have a problem with sizing too big. I mean, OSF over here just said he fucking threw 100 grand in a Pepe coin or some shit. That seems like a missize. I don't know. I could be wrong.
Pepe's like the OG.
Yeah, that's insane.
Like, how do you think about sizing, Wiz?
Yeah, so I always get in. So the key with shitcoin is getting in early. Like, I try to target like under 1 million, like ideally under 500,000. Because, like, think about it. Like over the last, I would say, like, I was looking at my TXN. I would say over the last 2 weeks, I've probably burnt like I probably aped into like maybe 75 shitcoins, 80. And I've probably been burnt on like, I'd say 70 of them. You know what I mean? So I just go in 0. Like, I try to go for a max wallet, like, so close to 1%. So that will be, you know, under 1 million, you're looking at maybe 0.25 ETH, 0.3 ETH, depending on the market cap. So it's, which, you know, that's the key, is to get in early, right? So if you get in early, it's fine. You're just burning like 0.2, 0.3, but all you need is one. And like almost always, like in shitcoin season, like one of them will go at least 200, 300x. And that's it, bro. That's like a 200 ETH you just made off like 0.2, 0.3 ETH, right? And that's all it is about shitcoins, man. You just, it's a numbers game, and you got to take risks. It's just the biggest problem, mistake people make is that they go too big a little bit too late, because they're like, oh, this is the next Doge. Like, PayPay worked out great because it's, first of all, it's the core coin. If you go big, you got to go on the anchor. Like, every meme coin season has an anchor. So PayPay is this one's anchor. When, when Vitalik was like, you know, everything Vitalik would say turned into a meme coin, right? And so I think it was THE was like the anchor. So as long as the anchor runs and has volume, all the side coins will run. And then you just ape in small into side coins. You never go big, too big on the side coins. You just keep putting into the main coin afterwards. That's kind of how you see with PayPay. Like, people sell the other coins that they're launching and move the money into the main one. That's why PayPay keeps running. So as long as PayPay runs, the other stuff will run. When PayPay comes down, everything else will come down. I mean, this is literally every season that's what happens, right? But the risk taking is you just keep going small. Like, literally small, small, small. Ape in. Know how many X. You're like, all right, I get 5X, I'm out. If I get 10x, I'm out. Like, I think that's what it is. Take your initials out. You know, this is what I try to instill into my community. Like, so, you know, you were saying, like, what all the other stuff I'm doing? Like, illiquid capital, right? Illiquid capital kind of came up with shitcoins. Now we do everything. Like, we're trading, like, gold, options. We're trading stocks. I mean, you name it. Like, if an asset has volatility greater than, you know, one, we'll trade it. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, derivatives. You know, obviously gold is like one of my biggest, like, you know, conviction trades right now. So we've been buying like gold options for like the last 3 months, like crazy, which, you know, obviously been a phenomenal trade. But that's what illiquid capital is. It's just my community. You know, it's an NFT program. You know, it's crazy. we launched at a 0.075 ETH. We didn't mint out for like 3 months. And now it's like, and we're sitting at like, I don't even know where it's right now, maybe 0.5 ETH. But yeah, like it's unreal. We're going to have our season 2 soon where we're going to have our PFP program, which I'm pretty excited about. But yeah, that one's, you know, just a fun project. My newsletter, man, that's blown up massively. The newsletter is just, you know, it's my brain and like what the way I think in paper format, like 50 pages every week. Well, you guys have read it, right? I remember like the first day when I launched it, I think actually you, I don't know if I sent it to Mando, actually maybe I did. I know OV, you and Keyboard were the first people I had, like, you know, kind of look at it and see what you think. But yeah, the newsletter has been unreal. I mean, it's just, I would say it's like the second or third biggest newsletter in terms of subscribers for a paid newsletter out there. And it's just, man, it's just calls across the board, like NFTs. Your other question was how I got into NFTs. I actually got through Pudgy Penguins. Like, I remember people just talk, because I was big in DeFi, and DeFi people started talking about Pudgy Penguins a lot. And I was like, what the hell is this? They're like, yeah, you just buy these pictures, and they're just, it's a cool community. And I kind of got it right away. I was like, man, it's all these nerds like me who like have never had friends, and you just buy a picture and like get to be part of this community and like on Discord. And you know, I had my community the same way, but we weren't charging. And I was like, just imagine my community, but you have to buy some picture. And I was like, it just clicked right away from the community standpoint. I was like, you just, you know, you have all these people who are going to be sitting in these Discords. Now you know, create some exclusivity to be in like special Discords. It just clicked. So Pudgy Penguins and Oni Force were like the two first NFTs I bought. It was like a wizard hat, Pudgy Penguin, and then the fucking price went up like crazy. And I was like, oh, you can make money on this shit too. And yeah, that's when I went all in. And then I think my biggest trade on NFTs, probably say Azuki apes. I bought a lot of apes. I bought apes at like 35, 40 ETH before the mutant drop. So I did pretty well on that. And then I minted a shit ton of Azukis that I held to like 25, 30 ETH. Clones, I max minted clones. I bag held a lot of clones, but those airdrops were incredible. But yeah, I mean, Aether Orcs. I don't even remember Aether Orcs. It was a great RPG game. Free mint. Anonymize. That's great community as well. They really went Anonymize.
Anonymize. That's a throwback. My buddy was offered an Italian villa for like 150 Anonymize, and he turned it down. So
really,
shout out to him.
How does that trade even happen?
I'll post it.
Just a DM. Here's my Italian villa. Give me your Anonymize.
Like somebody, his dad just died and he had an estate. I don't know, but he really wanted the Anonymize. But the Chief production was too much. I don't know.
Yeah, well, same thing. Inflation, right? Like
that's what I was about to bring back. Yeah.
Don't understand like inflation in this world, like in the crypto world, like just literally no concept of it, since everyone was buying as inflation was going up. They're like, no, we should buy more crypto as inflation. I'm like, what? But yeah, dude, Anonymize was great. Anonymize, I think, was probably one of the few projects that probably could have competed, if not made it to Punk level, because it was all punks who were shilling it. The problem was the punks got threatened. They're like, wait, they actually might cross us, and they held almost all of it. So I think like as cheats started getting crazy and they started breeding, they were like, all right, I got dumped.
All this shit is just gambling and dumb, isn't it? So, just like you said.
Taking a step back.
Like remember crypto?
Inflation. I was about to say, it looks like how, because a lot of people do this sort of stuff. Like a lot of people are into meme coins, a lot of people are into all these NFTs, and they just get wrecked, right? So you seem to have been drawn to that area as like a, I don't know, established risk taker. How exactly are you doing it better? Like Rudy said, it's small sizes and maybe being early, but is there anything else to help people who want to be as degenerate as you are, but you seem to be more successful at it over like the media?
So, yeah, honestly, I'll tell you, it all comes down to, you know, honestly, this is how I was, this is how I kind of got good at increasing my Sharpe ratio on Wall Street too. It all comes down to, honestly, it was blackjack. Like, you ever read this book called, have you heard of Beat the Dealer? This like small little book.
I've heard of it.
Yeah, so there was this guy, I forget the name of his friend, it was like Newport something. He was just some guy who used to do a lot of horse betting. And he has a better like a return than like Warren Buffett and all of these guys. All he did, he was literally, he knew nothing about investments. He used to be like a horse race bettor, and the way he used to be really good at it was money management, right? And then he learned blackjack. And so, you know, and when you're counting cards in blackjack, you know, as your odds go up of having a higher probability of face card and, you know, lower probability of face card, you're supposed to move the size of your bets, right? Like literally, it's a very mathematical sense, but you can also be do it intuitively, which makes sense. When you have a higher probability of you hitting or like winning, you want to put in more money into that trade. You have a lower probability, you need to reduce, right? It's honestly the exact same thing I've traded all my life. When you have high conviction, you got to go all in or like go as close to all in. When you don't, you still got to trade because it's still law of large numbers, but you still got to keep putting those trades in. You just got to manage your size. So there's a lot of times like, you know, I'll have trades where like I don't make money and people are like, oh, you took an L. Yeah, I take an L, but it's my money was not, it's not like I went all in on that. It's a trade that I went like it was low conviction. Like yesterday I long curve the coin, but it wasn't like a high conviction trade. I was like, all right, I'll probably lose like, you know, $3,000-$4,000 if I'm wrong. And I did. I 100% I lost it because, you know, obviously we had an overnight like dump, but that's the thing. So money management is the single biggest reason I've noticed, you know, in my community, because I watch all these DGEN traders all day, every day. I literally hired a firm to look and parse through all the data and all the people talking to find the biggest mistakes they make in my Telegram for my newsletter and for my Illiquid Capital Discord. And the number one reason is money management and leverage, right? So money management is people just aping in. And it's kind of how you said, right? Like figuring out how much to put into what trade. It goes all the way from leverage trading to shitcoin trading to NFTs. I mean, it doesn't make sense that if something has pumped, like let's take something new, for example, Nakamigos, right? It doesn't make sense to go all in on Nakamigos at 0.8 ETH. Like it's already pumped from like basically zero, but it's gone like 50, 60X. Like what, in what sense does it make sense you go in all in on that trade? Like it's the next Bored Ape. I mean, the probability of something being the next Bored Ape is so low. And you're like, okay, so if it's like this probability, you're like, okay, it's a 0.2 probability. I have $100 to put in. Literally, you'd be like, okay, 0.2 probability, I got to put in $10, right? $5. I mean, it's literally a mathematical a money management system. Your probability, your expected value of making money on this trade should have a proportionality on how much money you put in on the trade. If I'm going to go long, when the FTX happened, everything's dumped like, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60%. Does it make sense to go in now on that trade when something's down 60%? Or does it make more sense to go in on a trade that's gone up like, you know, 20X? Like, I feel like that's common sense, but it's not. 99% of people, including my Discord and a lot of people just on Twitter in general, they will go in more on the thing that's pumped. So I keep, like, this is a saying I keep every day, every morning. I tell my Discord, buy the dip, sell the rip. Everybody buys the rip and sells the dip. Like they panic, they sell the bottom, they FOMO into a pump. I mean, constantly. Like you look at this NFTs, look at shit coins. So that's what it is. So if I have a portfolio of say $1,000 and I want to spread across crypto, my core, like, you know, and I put this in my newsletter I put my full portfolio top down across crypto, NFTs, shit coins, private equity every week and how it changes, right? So if I have $1,000, you know, I'm gonna be like, okay, I'm gonna put 25% into say crypto, like good coins like Ethereum, you know, ARB, maybe Polygon, like, you know, whatever I pick. Then I go down the risk scale and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna go a little bit higher on the risk scale with the you know, a smaller portion. So I'm like, all right, 10% of my portfolio I'm gonna put into high risk. So that's gonna be I'm just gonna keep aping into shit coins. I'm gonna keep aping into NFTs. I'm gonna keep aping into smaller DeFi stuff, new launches, stuff like that, right? So that's with 10%. Then with another 10%, I'm gonna be like, okay, here I'm gonna leverage trade with it. So I'm like, okay, I have out of the $1,000 now I have another $100. I'm gonna lever up 2-3x with that. That's it. I never go more than 5x. Never. 5x is like max conviction. People are going like, I mean, unless I'm, you know, just degening like 1,000x on like, you know, some exchange, but usually like as a real trade, I'll never go more than 5x, right? So now I have my portfolio top down. I have a 25% allocation to save stuff that's going to get me, you know, 30, 40% return over a year. I have other where I'm going to get, you know, depending on the risk. Remember, it's all risk reward. So if I'm taking more risk and I can't get the higher reward, you should never be in that trade. So now I'm like, okay, so say I have something like DYDX Exchange or Blur Coin or, you know, some exposure to a sector like gaming or something. I'll increase my risk there, but I have more volatility, but I also have higher upside, right? But obviously, I have potential downside. So that's how I'll break down my portfolio. And then that's it. I just stick to those bandwidths. And unless you have a black swan event and I have a high conviction thing, like when FTX was a black swan thing, I lost on the black on the FTX thing because I didn't think FTX was going to go under, but it did. And I was like, okay, this is literally, you could not have a better like buying opportunity. So when we were sitting in that Ethereum, like 1050 to 1350, when people were like, oh, we're going to go to like $500. Like, no, we just had the biggest exchange go down and we've dropped from $1,600 to $1,000. Like, what makes you think we're going to go down another like 50%? Like, that's insane talk, right? And that's what people do. They start shorting that bottom, and that's what, so it's the same thing. That's when you go for the high conviction trade. And I just went all in. I mean, USDC DPEG, when it happened, it was like the silliest thing. When the USDC DPEG, I'm like, this is the best money making opportunity. You got to go all in. So but those opportunities come in, you know, like 3-4 times a year, right? The problem people make is that they don't have the patience to put in on that 3-4 times. They just keep going in every day. I see in my Discord too, and it's, my Discord is such a great way for me to educate myself and educate others too, because we all learn from each other. And literally every day it's like, hey, what, where can we make money on today? Like, dude, you don't have to have a trade every day. You don't have to have a position on every day. Wait, be patient, because it will come. And it came so many times last year. We had FTX, we had BAC going up, we had USDC DPEG. People are not patient. The discipline, you know, the one thing my mentor always taught me, he was the head of the bond desk at Lehman, and it was the only desk at Lehman that ever made money, even in the crisis. And he always told me, it doesn't matter what you trade, doesn't matter what you do, discipline is the number one way to make sure you outperform everyone else. Because everybody else, there's very few people in the world who have the discipline to make it big. Doesn't matter what you're trading shit coins, like having the discipline to sell constantly on shit coins, where people are like, dude, I sold Pepe at like a bunch at like 5 million market cap, 10 million. But you know how many 5 million, 10 million I've sold that I bought in like under 500K over the last like 8 months, like way more than I would have even held Pepe all the way through. So it's all about just getting those numbers. Like, hey, hit like 2-3X constantly, constantly, constantly. And dude, you'll make like a shit ton of money. There's constant like opportunities in our space. Like, forget even like stocks are great too. And I love it. I trade a lot of options and you can go, you know, 15-20X on options. But dude, there's always another trade. And this is something people don't understand in the space, that they get like impatient, right? They're like, oh, I'm seeing somebody else make money. And that's also, you know, I'm sure I'm not great with that either, because I see people on Twitter making money and this and that, and they don't, you know, the patience goes away. They're like, you know, whatever. But if you can just, like, the first thing anybody and everyone, if you're going to be in any type of trade, discipline is number one. There's nothing else. No emotions. You lose money, you lose money. You can't bring yourself down. You can't revenge trade. You can't overtrade. Like, overtrading. I mean, me and KBM talk about this, like, a bunch of times. I mean, even that happens to me sometimes. Like, I overtrade. Like, I get angry and I revenge trade. And you can't. Overtrading, revenge trading, you know, not being disciplined are the fastest ways to send yourself to zero. Over-levering, which is, you know, same shit. Well, people over-lever because they want to get rich quick. You know, just be patient. Take a year. You'll make the money. Go 2X, 2-3X. You won't get liquidated. Make the money, and you're going to crush it. I mean, leverage is, like, amazing. Understanding funding. People don't understand funding, and they'll just sit on trades and just get crushed, right? I mean, there's so many, but people need to understand, like, the fundamentals of what they're doing. Like, they're like, oh, I'm just going long. Like, I had to, like, I posted the other day where I said, hey, I went long and short a single coin, and I make like, you know, $4,000 or $5,000 a month just doing that. Just long and short the exact same coin. And it's just funding. Like, I just play on funding of spot margin and futures. And that's it. And, you know, like, what? And people were so confused. They're like, this doesn't make any sense. You have to go long with leverage. And, like, that's it. That's the only way you make money. And, like, that part. And this is something, you know, I teach a lot in my space, in Liquid Capital. And I try to drill this in my newsletter constantly. Like, every huge section on mental health and, you know, building all that out. And that's kind of what it is. I mean, you guys, all three of you have traded. I mean, like, wouldn't you say, like, discipline has to be, like, one of the top reasons to, like, making a trader?
Absolutely. I think it's funny because everyone's like, oh, you need to, like, study finance at school, or you need to, like, study math. It's like, really, like, it's just discipline. It's like, knowing when to stop out, knowing when to not like get greedy and like try and run your profits, like, you know, accepting when you're wrong, accepting when you've made mistakes, like all these kind of, these are all skill sets that you don't really get taught at school. And I guess you kind of like learn on the job, but they're also, I think they're also like personality driven things as well. You know, like not everyone has the ability to like not be stubborn or like, you know, be disciplined and mechanical about like cutting and adding risk and knowing when you have conviction, all this kind of stuff. These are tough skills to master, I think, which is why I think like there's often traits that are kind of inherent within people rather than like things that can be trained. And you can get better in certain things for sure over time, but you know, it's definitely the most important thing, I would say.
A degree for like trading.
Yeah.
And, like, you know,
I train very differently though. I think what I agree with you in terms of your discipline, I agree with, like, you do need discipline, but the way that, I mean, traditionally I've been a trader is like having a thesis about something and then building a position up, which is decently large, and then normally holding that. That's always, I mean, we trade in a much more liquid market. Whereas the trade that you're describing is like, it's scalping a lot of more high probability trades. And so you might miss the, and in crypto, I think the issue that people get caught up in and reason why you have so much of what you've just described is that there's a lot of positive momentum bias. You know, like the fact that a coin gets to 100 million might, like a meme coin, like you just said, like blue chip Pepe meme coin might mean that it goes to a billion. Whereas, so like they get caught up in that sort of concept, and that's where a lot of people get hurt. And it's easier to, with the brain damage of that, to just not play that game at all and just play the scalp each time. It just means that sometimes you miss out on that life-changing lottery ticket. And people sometimes just like the life-changing lottery ticket. And I think there's still discipline to doing both, I think, but you just got to know which ones are the real conviction trades and which ones are just like the ones that you're meant to scalp.
Yeah, that's a very good point, Mando, that you made. So that is 100%. I think that's missed a lot too. And 100%, some of my best trades were where you just sit on it. It comes back to the discipline, patience, right? It's you have conviction, you sit on it, you build a position. I mean, that 100%. Like, you know, when COVID happened, like I was buying bonds and bro, it went against me, and I was like, that's okay. It's just gonna go the other way. Like Fed's gonna cut like crazy. We're gonna have massive stimulus. It was the same thing, with ApeCoin. Like when ApeCoin launched, I was like, bro, this shit's gonna go. Let's take Arbitrum, recently, right? Arbitrum.
I've lost him.
Should we kick him off and get him back up?
Maybe. I know we're running close to time, but yeah, no, I agree with him. Discipline is everything, especially for short-term.
I'm gonna kick him off so he doesn't just keep on talking. And hopefully he realizes.
Meet the game versus yourself. Trading is definitely like a lot, mostly psychological. Once you know,
that was a very abrupt ending. Oh, he's requested.
Let's start that.
I'm gonna back up.
All right.
You want him back up or you want to end?
No, let's get him back up.
Okay. Get him back in here. He's got another one in him.
He's definitely got another one in him. Be here for another 20 minutes.
You got another one in you?
Oh, he's connecting.
Sorry. You got another one in you, buddy? You there?
Yeah.
All right, good.
Yeah, do you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you know, that's basically what I'm saying, man. I think it's combining, you know, it's discipline, it's patience. It's, you know, when you find, like, even if a trade goes against you, it doesn't mean that, you know, it's knowing when to take profit, but it's also knowing when sometimes wait on taking profit. It's also sometimes when you're getting close to a stop out, making sure you don't stop out, because you know what? Sometimes it's just volatility and you have to just build on the position. You have to double down. But, you know, that comes from experience. It comes from time. It comes from risk taking. You know, it's very easy sometimes, you know, for me and you to say, you know, like, listen, like you guys too, like, you know, you've spent like 10, well, you know, I don't know how long you've been also, like, I'm just assuming at least like say 10 years of trading investments, you know, same here, like 15 years, it took me to kind of get in the mindset now, and I still make mistakes, right? You know, I still will FOMO in into stuff. I'll still, like, you know, not, you know, sell stuff on time. But it's, you know, it's good to, like, you know, start at the base, like conviction, you know, build up patience, build up discipline. And listen, it's making sure you're around the right people. Like, the right chat will change your life in this space, 100%. You know, I always believe that, and I've seen it happen so many times, and I've seen it happen again over the last few days. But, you know, that's kind of all I can say.
Yeah. I mean, I'd have to agree. Surround yourself with winners and people who want to win and be consistent. Everything you said is easy in practice. I mean, we got some people in the comments being like, oh, it's obvious, but it's not. I mean, I've been training for like 15 years too. It's pretty hard to put into practice and achieve at a super high level, especially with taking size. And what may seem obvious is actually like something that needs to be done every day and ingrained every day. And I think Wiz is doing a good job with that whole little speech there. And I mean, like just hearing it myself again, it's just like, you know, it's just something you want to drive home every day as a short-term trader. Do you guys want to cut it off here? I mean, I know we're at the hour mark. Maybe we get into the loot box spins. We'll bring some people up.
I think we can go into the final questions though, right? Like, which is maybe your biggest losses, and then the questions that we always ask is how, what would you recommend for someone to not get wrecked?
Right? Yeah. Before you answer that, Wiz, let's get all of your, everyone who's listening to comment on the pinned post on Rec Radio Twitter. Comment discipline. Okay, right. Discipline.
Discipline.
Discipline on the Rec Radio pin tweet. If you want to be entered in for the loot box spins,
I think I already put on that comment, Wiz. So we might need to.
Oh, really? Whatever. I mean, doesn't matter what the comment. They can write whatever. So their name's
there. Yeah. I don't have to filter by comment text.
Yeah. So. Okay. So Wiz, go ahead. Answer that question.
Okay. Biggest loss. In my bond trading time, it probably was like right before COVID was about to get big. There was so much illiquidity. I bought a ton of duration and it went against me. I think the portfolio is down like 25-30 mil. I mean, it came back like several X over, but that was pretty stressful. But honestly, so when it's not like your money, it's different. But my own personal, I would say, was definitely FTX. I mean, I think I remember it was like I had a huge long before, remember that pump right before FTX happened where we were sitting in that 1150, 1250 range for like few months after like FreeAC blew up and all that shit after the bear market rally we had in June. And then I accumulated a lot there. And then we got to that 1600, 1650. And I was like, yeah, this is like an easy 1800 to 2K because inflation is trending down. So I was sitting at that 1650. And then the rumors, so I had shit tons of ETH, like huge, humongous position. And then the rumors started on the FTT token thing. And we started seeing a lot of volatility. And then overnight, it dumped. I think we got to 1450 on ETH. And it was sitting around 1450. And I remember, actually, I was on the morning Rug Radio show. And the tweet came out that Binance was going to buy out,
If we lose in this time, we're going into loot boxes, though, boys.